Hey, I'm absolutely thrilled today to be joined by two practitioners from one of our recent WOW Award winning institutions. They are joining me to chat about the initiative that won one of the WOW Awards and have a little conversation about digital learning today. Hey guys, can you introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Go ahead, Dee.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Dee Wu, pronoun he and him. I'm an instructional designer at Nicolet College. So my daily work is basically working with faculty members to design online courses and support them with curriculum design and learning technologies support and training.
I'm Nate Wilson. I am the, I think it's called fine arts instructor. It's really generic. we're a small college, and so I'm the only full-time studio arts instructor here. We have some adjunct instructors that do some great work, but I'm the only one that's full-time. I teach things like drawing and painting, and that's really what my background is in. I've kind of art making, and that's what I got my degrees in. But since I've worked here 10 years ago, they've had me teach quite a bit of art history, and I've even led some study abroad course to London. I haven't gone for a few years, but we're going to go back in a few months. So pre-pandemic, we used to do that, and post-pandemic. So that really kind of bolstered my art history background. I had to kind of do a lot of studying to feel more confident there.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm so thrilled to have both of you here to talk about the work that was nominated and won one of the WOW Awards this year. Can you share with us a bit more about the work that was nominated and won?
Yeah, I can talk about it for a minute. It's a course called Native American Art, and it's a course that we had on the books and we're teaching for quite a few years now, but having done, the campus was involved in kind of a lot of efforts to update and work better with Native American content broadly. And maybe Deal and Uncle Ernie can address some of those efforts a little bit more if it comes up. But just generally, I'll say that. And kind of as all that was going on, like, it occurred to me that this was a course that maybe I should volunteer to update. And it wasn't actually a course I was even teaching at the time. It was being taught by an adjunct instructor. It's existed entirely as an online course, which isn't perhaps the ideal format, but it's the format that reaches the most people. And so we've kept it that way. And from there, we started having meetings, and there's kind of a broader narrative there. Maybe we'll get into that too. But Uncle Ernie got brought in, and there was kind of a group of us, and we ended up building a new course, again, fully online. And I think it's a better version than the old one. It's a very short version of kind of the whole project there.
Yeah. Did you want to add anything there? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I would just like to add on the top of what Nate just mentioned, that the background, like, we are very lucky that when we had this project in front of us, our college, Nicolet College, is a technical college in the system of Wisconsin. We are the smallest one, like, in the northern Wisconsin. And so we're, you know, geographically, we share the lands of three tribal nations. So we were very lucky that our college has already established a pretty good relationship already with the local tribes in the couple of years before. There are many great projects already happening before this project. So that really built the foundation and the trust between our college and the local tribes. So that's why we are very privileged to have Uncle Ernie, which is a tribal elder, to come in into this project as our, like, consultant, like, also as a you know, content expert to lead Nate and I to revamp this Indigenous art course. So I think that's just a little bit background for this project. And that's why, you know, it becomes a very successful, I think. And then we were very honored and humbling to win this award.
Oh, well, we were honored to hear about this course redesign and really to be able to share about it. I think it's absolutely wonderful. So there are several tribal colleges in Montana where I live and where I do, where I did my graduate work. And so I was just personally really impressed by the work that you guys are doing, your institution is doing, and your nomination materials showcase that it's a rural area that you're serving, and you do have that work with the tribes to truly reach a different population that higher education is not serving. And has not served historically. So just kudos to you and to your team and the folks that worked with you to make this happen. I just think it's really great. I enjoyed reading the language in the award materials was that the course was infused with Indigenous knowledge and culture, and that you were able to work with the tribal expert, like you said. Love that you call him Uncle Ernie. We're hoping that we can hear from Uncle Ernie a bit later. That'll be great. So as far as kind of what started the project, what inspired you to work on this type of project?
Well, I guess if I was going to talk about from my perspective, it felt like it just kind of felt overdue. It felt like given the relationship with the tribal nations that we have that Dee just described and kind of where we are and the communities we serve, it wasn't currently a course that was doing justice to the topic and to the people that it was about, purported to teach about, right? Going into it, like I had some minimal background, having had, you know, being educated in art history and stuff, but I quickly learned that my understanding was very much couched and from a Western art historical perspective, and the texts that had been previously used and most of the texts that exist out there take that vantage point. It kind of frames it frames Native American art through the lens of Western art history, which is pretty typical of a lot of academic subjects, but going to our very first meeting where I first met Uncle Ernie, and we met each other we were sort of presenting him some of the materials that we had been using previously and some of the basic ideas for what we thought maybe we'd try to do with the course. It was very apparent, even though he never said so directly, because that's his style, that's probably not the way the course should go. And over the months of meeting with him, it was between me and Dee and the time I spent researching and trying to figure out how this can exist as an online class, to figure out what is the available alternative, what can work, and how should it go. And I could talk some more about kind of decisions that I made and directions that Dee and resources that Dee helped me find and stuff like that, and how it kind of ultimately became what it is. That's how it got started for me anyway, and kind of helped give me some gauge of where we were and where it needed to go, which was kind of a big gap.
Dee, did you want to add anything from what inspired you or motivated you?
Yes, absolutely. Just from my personal background, I'm originally from China. I moved to the United States 8 years ago, and basically my career trajectory is mostly instructional design and online learning for higher ed. And then this is the first project that I ever be part of that I'm not feel like quite confident to tackle because of the content itself, but also it's relevant to DEI topics like diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is also a topic I'm always have a passion on it, and I want to in the past couple of years, I've been trying to learn everything I can about this topic. And I find it's very fascinating, but sometimes it can be very frustrating as well. The more you know about the history and the context, you will feel a lot of, you know, heavy burdens on your shoulder, that when you actually design this kind of course, you feel some responsibilities to do it just to do it well. So I think I feel a little unconfident at the beginning to start the project, but later on, when I know that Uncle Ernie will be part of this project, that makes me, you know, feel so much right that we got a chance to really make this course like authentic to itself, to reflect the real indigenous culture and history and their culture into this course. So I'm just like, okay, yes, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to keep a learner mind, like trying to be, you know, taking everything Uncle Ernie has to offer and then trying to coordinate everything Nate will need to help him to build the course that he and Uncle Ernie will envision.
I appreciate both of you for sharing so much about that. So this totally wasn't on our list of questions, so I'm sorry about that. But since both of you kind of alluded to it and brought it up, the partnership between an instructor or faculty member, it's so important in the course design and the course implementation. Excuse me. Can you guys talk a little bit about how that collaboration went for you, and you know what that process was like?
This particular curriculum design project for me, it was very different than ones I've done in the past, because I've done most of the ones I've done in the past, like I essentially understood the content well enough, or I knew the content in a way that felt like I just needed to put a class together that reflected that. In this case, yeah. I, like Dee said, I did not have that kind of confidence, particularly because I'm not a native person. And I just didn't, I was concerned about that. So the collaboration was essential. Like, I needed other people involved, and I needed Uncle Ernie to be involved, because he's the one that brought the indigenous knowledge and the understanding and the background and the culture and the wealth of wisdom that he has in that area. So without that, there would have been no class. Dee was fantastic in bringing together resources and coordinating things. Also brought in some other people who helped us. There was another person in the instructional design team who helped set up a press book, which became a database for kind of knowledge sharing in the course. And students would find things, and part of the curriculum was for them to go find things that weren't just in the course. They weren't just assigned readings and assigned text, but they would go via the internet or other ways and find things in the world that they wanted to share with the class, and they could house those in this press book where they would exist for future students. And it's been growing as a database, and there's a lot in there that I never would have found, I never would have tracked down or known about already. And of course, it's only run twice. And so that's going to be a wonderful repository for that kind of knowledge and information. Plus, they have the opportunity, whether they write a paper or do a project, if they want that to be housed in the press book for future students to learn from, that's an opportunity they have, and some have done that. And so that's the whole collaboration just really was essential in that way.
Wow. Okay. Well, I love the student experience there, especially that they can add their own creative works to the other art. Oh, that's pretty neat. So Dee, what about the instructional design side?
Yes, I really like, Nate, that you actually took the ideas that I proposed. I think it's a very innovative practices for, you know, online courses, that we let the students to create their own textbook. It's a little, you know, innovative ideas. In my back of my mind for a couple of years, I just never got a chance to or see the course that really fit into this situation. It happened naturally to the course, because Nate and I, when we are looking for a good textbook, we don't really find a good like selection for the higher ed, in particularly indigenous art. There's not many good textbook out there. So, and then I said, why not? Let's just let the students create their own textbook. And it's going to be a living document that will carry every year's students' work like into a like a living, breathing textbook driven by students. And I'm like, glad that Nate took this idea and make it into a reality. And we also have a great, great colleague, Cindy Domeka. She's also offering a lot of suggestions and advice how to make this, like there's a lot of logistics behind that to make it into a real thing. So we had a lot of support and finally we made it work. And students, and Nate, you can share more from the students and how I think some of the students actually agreed, right, to be part of that textbook.
Yeah, some of them, you know, being students just kind of submitted their work, but some of them wanted their work to not just be read by the instructor, but to live on and potentially be a source of information for the students that would take the course after they did. And so, yeah, we have some student created content on there in addition to some of all the other resources that I have tracked down, Uncle Ernie has tracked down. Some of it is stuff that Dee found, and that's a place that we can put it. And then a lot of it is stuff that students have found. Most of, you know, obviously online content, but some of it's books or things like that that aren't necessarily just online. But it might be an article that's very helpful or interesting or informative. I've had links to YouTube videos that are performances by Native performers and stuff like that. Yeah. And we'll put those on there. And they're fantastic. Kind of Dee was talking about the fact that we had trouble finding a text that really fit the direction that Uncle Ernie was kind of helping us go. The way he would help us, or the way the conversations went, is I would have a list of questions, like very kind of formal, dry things that I'm like, I don't know how to do this. What's the historic structure I should use, or something like that? And then he would just tell me a story that felt relatively unrelated in the moment. And that was all we have to say on the topic. And that would happen several times, and the meeting would be over. Somewhat challenging, very helpful in the end, because I understood that he wasn't going to tell me what to do, and that his teaching style was one that I probably should at least try to adapt somewhat, even if I couldn't, I don't have the background to fully copy or mirror it. But it sent me in some better directions. And I did find texts, a particular text, and a bunch of other online resources that were excellent. You can see this one, and maybe you could. This one's a book that I ultimately ended up assigning to the students that is related to an exhibition that was put together by Jill Yeo and Terry Greaves. And I ended up assigning a lot of readings out of this book, and it was ideal. It was really good, and it layered well with other content I was able to find. What I realized is that Native artists in North America, because it wasn't exclusively the U.S., these artists are already creating all the content I needed. Most of it existed in their art, and I just needed to direct the students to the art. And all of the learning was there. I didn't need to go recreate a new textbook. I didn't even need to get a traditional textbook. All of the content we needed was in the art that was being made. There was such a wealth of art and artists out there that they were telling the stories and providing the information. And on top of the art they're making, there's so many interviews and videos and films and articles that there was too much content in the end. And that's why we ended up putting a lot of it just onto the press book, where the students could go find it if they were looking for more stuff. But once I was filling out the course, instead of taking kind of the traditional chronological, first we'll go pre-contact and then we'll go post-contact, and which was a framework that Uncle Ernie was very clearly not interested in, I structured it all more topical. And so there would be the first lesson plan, is based around storytelling, and there would be a lesson plan about legacy.
Wow, so even the course structure itself was impacted by the content and the experts that you worked with. Kind of continuing on the student topic, what have the other results, I guess, been or student outcomes been?
Well, I'll mention just one of the projects they do, in addition to kind of these weekly lesson plans where they'll review art and artists and read or watch or engage with the art in a variety of ways. Over the course of the semester, there's one writing project and then one handmade art project came to be called the Heritage Project. And that one very much grew out of some of the direction that Uncle Ernie was describing. A lot of the ways he would talk and the stories he would tell made it clear that understanding Native art required students to engage with their own heritage and their kind of understand their own background and reflect a little bit more introspectively, even if they're not Native students, which was a different way to think about it. And that it took me a while to kind of come up with a way that we could maybe make that work. And that's where the Heritage Project came in. So the students would do research on their own background, their own heritage, and with some freedom about how they want to explore that. Most of them took it to be family, but not all of them will think about and describe their heritage through other groups or associations or backgrounds, but in very personal ways. And then they'll go about creating a piece of art that reflects that. And they'll look at, in the process, before and after and during, they'll look at the way various Native artists have used art, have created objects, have created works that reflect their heritage. And the students mirror that, they look at that, and they make their own. And it's the piece they ultimately make isn't directly about Native American art. It's about their heritage. But then they, after the fact, kind of tie those connections together. They realize and they're prompted to think about and reflect on their experience in making a piece of art that reflects their own culture and heritage and how Native artists do that also.
You know, the most impactful courses that I took as a student were the ones that, you know, they made me reflect on something personally. So wow, yeah, I think that's an amazing project. Dee, did you want to add anything about the student experience or student outcomes?
And it was just my privilege to see some of the students' comments to this course towards right. The end. You know, there's a discussion board about, you know, like at the end of the course, like reflection, like what do you think? Have you learned from this course? I just got the chance to view them. And then I was like blown away by like how much students have taken out from this course, not only like academically, but also, you know, culturally and, you know, as a person, how they have grown from their own words, because the students' comments won't lie. I remember one of the story from the student. She is a adult learner. She has been away from school for 15 years. She also have some children. And then she mentioned that from this course, not only, you know, she herself enjoy the course materials very much, but she also got to share those weekly contents with her children. And wow. So she and her children both really enjoy the connection of, you know, appreciating Native art. And then she also mentioned that she's going to have a Washington, D.C. trip in the summer for that year. And then she plans to bring her children to a Native art museum at D.C. So that's how I feel very interesting that this course not only affect her, but also her children, that people are starting to, the future generation are starting to realize that how precious and how beautiful Native art it is, and the history and the culture behind it. I just think it's very impactful in many different way.
Yeah, you know, it has kind of that trickle down effect to her children, sort of to being learners as well. An impact outside of the classroom, that's so great. Thank you both for sharing that. So, Yeah. Have you guys personally learned? Have you personally taken anything away that you will use, you know, in future projects or initiatives or programs?
I can start. That give Nate some time to think about. So I think there are many lessons, personal lessons I've learned from this project. I will just share two. So the first lesson I've learned is because of the heritage project that Nate mentioned earlier, I was inspired to look into my ancestry and my own culture of, you know, I'm from China, but I never talked to my parents like, hey, do we have a family book? What's the stories of my great parents and great great parents? So I asked the question to my mom and dad, like they're all in China. And then we're just having this phone call. And then I found out that my mom's family, they actually had a family book. And that last about like thousand years, like 50, over 50 generations. I was like in awe. I can never imagine like we have that book before. I didn't know that exist. Yeah. And I asked my dad, unfortunately on my dad's side, they don't have this, get a chance to document that. But maybe someday I will go back and then help with that family book for my dad's side. What I learned is appreciate our own culture, you know, be more aware and mindful about, you know, who we are. And then I think that will lay the foundation to help us to appreciate other people's culture and history. The second lesson I learned from working with Uncle Ernie is that, like Nate mentioned before, you know, he's a very storytelling approach, like a wise elder in the tribe. So we learned that also in native culture, it's very important put relationships before everything. Relationship is the foundation. You know, a lot of times we just ignore that, or we are just living in a busy modern society. We always trying to get things done, but a lot of time we just forgot, you know, people's relationship is, we forgot that piece. So I think that's a good reminder also from Native American culture. I think I will treasure this lesson, and I think I will bring them into my future work and future life whenever I work with other faculty members. You know, back to the relationship that surpass all other things before we want to work together, because that relationship can really make, you know, things go smoothly and make everybody to like building a trust. And then so we can work together and everybody will really having this trust so we can fully put our heart and soul into this project together. That's go back to our first meeting with Uncle Ernie, because he lives in an area, like a tribal area, which is like 2 hours driving from our college. You know, in the past, whenever I work with an expert who are living that far, I would schedule a Zoom meeting just like today, because just to save everybody's time, save his travel time. But for this one, I almost going to schedule our first meeting on Zoom. I think it's either Nate or our leadership remind me that, you know, hey, Dee, maybe you want to consider schedule our first meeting in person. In Native culture, they really respect, you know, relationship. And for the first meeting, especially when you introduce yourself, let's just, you know, schedule in-person meeting. I listened to that and I'm glad I did that. So we schedule a meeting that, you know, sitting down together, Uncle Ernie drove all the way to the college and then we just introduce ourselves for the whole first hour of meeting, which didn't follow agenda at all, but that's okay. Because Nate mentioned earlier, you know, this is Uncle Ernie's style, and this is also many Native American style, which is storytelling. So when they want to know each other, they want to know the specific context and the backgrounds and stories, because that's the part of their culture. They are storyteller. They tell their stories generation to generations. So that's also part of the lesson I learned from the first meeting, that, you know, we tell each other stories to get to know each other, you know, get to know Uncle Ernie's stories, like his life journey. He's a troubled elder, but he has done so many things, so many different roles in his life. He used to be a judge for the tribal sovereignty governance. He used to be a educator for K-12 and also higher ed. He taught art classes before for many years. And also he himself is also a painter, artist, and also a skier, active cross-country skier. So we got to share in the first hour. We didn't talk about the project at all, but we just share stories of each other, just get to know each other, listen to each other. And I think that's laid a really good foundation for building trust for each other. Mm-hmm. It took me and Nate a long time to, you know, get used to Uncle Ernie style, like storytelling. Because oftentimes, like Nate mentioned before, when we ask a question to Uncle Ernie, he won't respond to your questions directly. Instead, he will tell one or two stories. It's really remind me of the Buddha, you know, in Chinese culture, that, okay, you know, Buddha will never tell you, you know, what to do. They will just use the stories to inspire you. I think Uncle Ernie just did the exact same things to guide us to, you know, think about the questions and then think about the content, the culture and the students, what works best for our students. Yeah, at the beginning, I feel like really impatient because his stories usually last like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes even the whole hour, which is the whole part of our meeting. I was a little concerned that will we get the time to really actually finish the project? But later on, I just learned too that Nate and I both choose to listen to him and to let the stories, give ourselves times to let the story sink in our mind and keep reflecting. Mm-hmm. And then I think the answer just came out organically, maybe after a few days.
Dee, thank you for sharing both of those lessons. I think it's so cool. It's so neat that you were able to go and learn more about your family. And what a great lesson for all of us to remember too, that with projects, we will get the work done, but we need our team to do it. I feel the exact same way with my team. Nate, I think you emphasized that you couldn't have done this work on your own. You needed the great team that helped you. And I think it's such a great thing to bring up because the relationships need to come first. You'll do better work because you took the time to focus on that. Thank you, Dee. Nate, did you want to share anything else about what you've learned or that you're taking on to your next endeavor?
Sure. I think Dee said a lot of, like, what Dee had to say was fantastic. So maybe he mostly said it. And I hadn't heard him tell that story about the family book that he found out existed. That's wonderful. One, I guess I'll just throw in one thing that I kind of learned the course is run twice now. And the first time through, you always find out a lot when you first teach the class and you have to kind of revamp certain things. But something that in this case, it was something that worked a lot better than I had anticipated it would, to my surprise. One of the things I had built is every week, it's a 15-week course. Most of the weeks, there's just content that they consume, you know, because it's online class. And so, like, here, go read these pages, watch these videos, click on these links, check out this, that, and, you know, look through these art pages, et cetera, learn about this artist, things like that. But then I would have just a short little journal prompt, and I wanted them to do it every week. And when I was designing the course, I thought, I'll just put this in there because it gives some assurance that they're actually consuming the content. There's a few little just personal prompts in there, or some of it's just write down what stuck out to you. And it wasn't worth much points. It was kind of a trivial amount of points that I just would mark yes or, you know, it was kind of you did it or you didn't. And that there wasn't much else to it. And I didn't think it would be much more, but it ended up, as the course ran the first time, that students overperformed in this area by I don't know, a huge margin, very unexpected. They would write these pages of very thoughtful, introspective journaling that were engaging the content in a way that was individual to them, but was very critical in the way they would think about it also. And they would process some of the relationships in the content. They would read one thing about one artist. They would watch an interview with another artist, and they'd be comparing and kind of putting the things together and coming up with their own conclusions. And it was really one of the strongest parts of the class, which was not what I saw coming at all. I thought that would be kind of the throwaway bit of the class. And so I learned to trust good content. Like if it's, in this case, the artists are doing good work, the articles I found were fantastic, the book is really good, just don't get in the way, just let that happen. And so I restructured around that a little bit the second time I taught the class, and kind of emphasized that and put that forward a little bit more. And I don't know if it'll work for every class I ever design in the future, but I'm going to definitely take that lesson.
Yeah, Nate, that's so cool. And what an opportunity for them to have kind of a lower stakes writing chance, not worth a lot of points, you said, but they can work on that reflection and kind of practice their writing like that. I really like hearing about those kinds of assessments. Go students, knocking it out of the park. So to end each episode, we'd like to ask our guests a final question, and that is, what have you learned this week? Could be something new that's personal or professional. Nate, do you want to go first?
It's not directly related, but this is what I learned. Right now I'm teaching a sculpture class. It's actually a 3D design class, so it's kind of an introductory sculpture class. Very hands-on. We make things out of various materials. That's where I've got to run to now. I got to go get prepped because we're making clay sculptures at the moment of people. But something I've been working on is I'm trying to figure out slip molds, which is a different way of making a ceramic or clay forms. And I haven't done that one before. And so it's been a little bit of trial and error. I'm trying to make plaster slip molds. My last attempt failed dramatically because I didn't make my form very good. And then the plaster leaked out all over the floor. But I learned at least what not to do so far. And I'm getting closer.
Wow, Nate, that's really cool. Good luck with moving forward with that. Dee, how about you?
Sure. I actually had a really fun experience of ice fishing.
Cool.
For my first time. Because, you know, we are living in the northern Wisconsin, and I have to do it. It's the culture here, you know. When the weather gets to negative 10 or 20, when the lakes got frozen, and you have to do something. So I got to, so I tried ice fishing last weekend. It was really fun. Very cool experience. I took a course. It's a course offered from our college, offered to the whole community. It's all bunch of different adventure classes, like skiing, camping. So we went to the lake. Actually, it's adjunct to our college because our college is like located on a beautiful lake. It's called Lake Julia. And it's a big lake. So we just get onto the lake next to our college. And then we had an ice fishing instructor and go through all the poles, all the devices that I never get a chance to know. They're like tip down, tip up. They could have different names for it. And then I even got the drill to drill the hole. It's very fun.
Nice.
Yes, and I also got the chance to open up a ice shelter because sometimes it gets too cold. People will set up. It looks like a tent, but the material is much thicker. So it's a good place to stay warm. And then you can put a heater inside, and then you can just sit there for the whole day looking at. And they also have the devices, pretty cool fishing finder devices.
That goes through the ice and helps
goes through the ice and through the sonar help you to identify how far away are the fishes. You can really see some of the fishes' activity.
That is so cool. Sounds so fun. It's really neat that your college offers that. Oh, did you catch a fish? I didn't ask that. Did you or your classmates catch anything?
I didn't, but collectively we did.
Collectively you did. There you go. I like that. It was a team effort. You caught fish.
Yes.
And will you do it again if you get the opportunity?
Hell yes.
Oh, great. Well, thank you both for sharing. I absolutely enjoy hearing what new things people are learning. So I'll share too. My new thing, I've been picking up something new. I injured my knee this fall and I'm having surgery next week. So I've been trying to think of something interesting to do while I'm recovering. And I've started to learn how to kind of embroider, you know, using the hoops and then with different kinds of fabric and thread. And I made my dad something for his birthday, and I don't know how great it was, but he was very kind and loved it, playing around with different patterns and things. So hoping to make little gifts, use my time making art instead of scrolling on my phone, which I think is better.
Yes, that's so much better. And yeah, I also love to do similar things. I think those kind of work are really healing. And you can easily get into the flow, and then the time just passed very fast.
So Dee, are you working on any other kind of redesigns or course redesigns or opportunities to work with other experts like Uncle Ernie?
At Nicolet College, we have started an initiative. It's called Indigenous Ways of Knowing. So it's a certificate. It's an initiative including professional development for our staff and faculty member to know more about indigenous knowledge and culture. And another part is building a certificate for indigenous students so that, you know, it's focusing on the indigenous culture, history, language, and sovereignty governance. So basically it's a credit-based and transfer certificates that indigenous students can take and help them to maybe eventually get an associate degree or a transfer to a four-year university. Mm-hmm. So that I think it's amazing initiative. And I really jealous of my coworkers who will help with those course project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also have other exciting projects going on right now. I'm working on a course. One of the courses is called Music in Film, which is just for under my personal hobbies. I love music and movies. I think, I will enjoy it very much. It's like a historical lens. The movies, the films from the very beginning and then to the present.
Well, Dee and Nate, I am just in awe of the work that you and your team completed and your passion and excitement over the redesign and the class and all the student outcomes. Thank you both so much for being here and chatting with me. I've really appreciated learning from both of you. We'll have another episode here shortly where we'll make sure to include the voice of Uncle Ernie and talk with him about this process too. But for now, thank you both so much again.
Thank you so much for the award. Thank you for interviewing us.
Thank you for the invite for joining the podcast. Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the awards and all the wonderful work you have done for, you know, WCET.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.